Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're cracking open something truly unexpected. Forget everything you thought you knew about egg yolks specifically, the proteins in them. We're diving into a story about a protein usually associated with, you know, feeding developing life.
Right.
But with a secret life as a powerful weapon against bacteria.
That's right. It's a fascinating piece of research that really shines a light on the surprising, well, versatility of biological molecules.
And the source for this deep dive is a paper titled Vitellogenin from the Silkworm, Bombyx mori, an effective antibacterial agent.
This work was published in the journal PLOS ONE, a good outlet for this kind of research.
The authors include Nitin Kumar Singh, Brito Catherine Pakianthadan, Manish Kumar, Kalika Prasad, Manikkanan, and Simone Koenig.
Okay.
And it was led by joint senior authors Simone Koenig and Professor Muthukalingam Krishnan.
Oh, okay.
With the Professor Krishnan also serving as the corresponding author from Bharathidasan University in India, really driving this investigation.
Got it. So a solid team behind this.
Exactly. So our mission today is to unpack this paper from Professor Krishnan and the team and discover how a protein from the humble silkworm could potentially be a potent antibacterial agent. Ready to dive in?
Absolutely. Let's explore what they uncover.
Okay, let's unpack this. First off, what is vitellogenin, or VJ? The paper tells us it's primarily known as the precursor to egg yolk proteins.
Yeah.
You find it in lots of egg-laying creatures, like chickens, fish, and in this case, the silkworm, Bombyx mori.
Yes, exactly. It's primarily synthesized by the female, usually in the fat body, which is kind of like the insect liver.
Okay.
And then it gets transported to the eggs. Its main job is providing energy reserves and nutrients for the developing embryo. Think of it as the packed lunch, you know, for the growing baby insect.
Right. The standard story.
And it's been studied for this role for a long time, tracing back decades in silkworms specifically. It's a major protein for them.
Right. That's the classic job. But the paper throws in a curveball pretty early on, mentioning that VG in other species, like fish, has also been shown to act as a multivalent pattern recognition molecule.
That's a bit of jargon, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
But it's key. A pattern recognition molecule is basically something the innate immune system uses. It can identify and bind to structures that are common on pathogens like bacteria or viruses.
Okay, the bad guys.
Exactly. But not found on the host's own cells. It's like having a sensor tuned specifically to invader patterns. So this hints that VG might have a defense role, not just a nutritional one.
Interesting. And the silkworm itself.
Yeah.
It isn't just famous for silk, right? It's also a really important research model.
Oh, absolutely. Especially for studying insects, including ones that cause agricultural damage.
So understanding its biology, including its immune system, is valuable.
Precisely. Understanding how insects defend themselves naturally as well, it's potentially very useful. If silkworms have robust immune defenses, maybe we can learn something that helps protect crops or even find new ways to fight infections elsewhere.
So even though VG is known as yolk protein, this team, led by Professor Krishnan, wondered if silkworm VG might also have these antibacterial powers like the fish version.
Right.
And how it might work in this specific insect. That was the missing piece they set out to find.
Exactly. And the first hurdle was actually getting their hands on the protein. You know, you can't test it if you can't isolate it.
Right.
They needed to isolate and purify it from the silkworm. They found the best source was a specific tissue called the perivisceral fat body.
The insect liver equivalent you mentioned.
Yeah, that's kind of like the insect's liver and fat storage combined. And specifically from the silkworm pupa on day 3, that seemed to be the sweet spot.
Why then? The paper mentions they specifically targeted this tissue and stage because preliminary tests showed VG was abundant there.
Right. They used an antibody test first just to see where and when it was strongly expressed. And day 3, pupal fat body lit up.
Okay, so they found the source. How'd they get it out?
To purify it, they used a standard lab technique called anion exchange chromatography.
No.
Think of it like a molecular sieve or filter that separates proteins based on their electrical charge. The paper notes it was a bit tricky because that fat body tissue is just full of other proteins, but they managed it. They successfully isolated a fraction containing the VG.
And they were sure it was VG.
Oh, yeah. They confirmed its identity using standard tests, mass spectrometry, and immunoblotting.
The molecular ID cards.
Exactly. These tests showed the expected VG bands the light chain, which is about 46 kiloday.
K-day meaning kilodaltons, a unit for measuring protein size.
Correct. Thanks. And the heavier chain, or maybe the full precursor protein, showing up around 180 to 200 kilo a day.
And that size matches what others had found for silkworm VG.
Yeah, it matches previous reports. It seems VG is made as one big protein and then often gets cut into these two main pieces, the heavy and light chains.
Okay, here's where I thought it got really interesting, going back to its structure. They didn't just look at the protein chain itself, did they? They checked for post-translational modifications.
Yes. That's crucial. These are chemical additions stuck onto the protein after it's initially made by the cell's machinery.
Like decorations.
Sort of, yeah. Functional decorations. On their gels, they ran tests and found the VJ bands reacted positively to stains for lipids, carbohydrates, and phosphates.
So it's not just the protein string. It's got fats, sugars, and phosphates attached to it.
Precisely. It's a lipoglycophosphoprotein, a complex beast.
Wow.
The paper points out this is similar to VJ found in other insects, too. And this complex nature, all these additions, might be really important for its function. Maybe those attached lipids or sugars help it grab onto things.
Like bacterial cell membranes.
That's a very plausible idea, yes. It could be key to how it interacts with bacteria.
Ah, okay. So this is its decorated, complex molecule. Now for the big question, does this purified VG actually do anything to bacteria?
That was the key test, wasn't it? The core of the study. They ran several experiments to check this out.
What did they do first?
First, a time-killing assay. Basically, they took their purified VG and incubated it with living cultures of two common bacteria. Escherichia coli, which is a standard gram-negative bacterium.
Thinner cell wall, outer membrane.
Got it. Right. And Bacillus subtilis, a standard gram-positive bacterium.
With the thicker single-layer cell wall. So right. Two different bacterial blueprints.
Exactly. Good test coverage. And importantly, they compared the effect of VG to a control protein, bovine serum albumin, or BSA.
Which is just a common kind of generic protein.
Yeah, it's readily available, stable, but shouldn't have any specific antibacterial effects itself. It's a good baseline.
Okay, moment of truth. What happened to the bacteria when VG was added?
Well, the VG significantly inhibited the growth of both bacteria over a 24-hour period.
Both types?
Both types. And it was concentration dependent. The more VG they added, the stronger the inhibition effect. At the highest concentrations they tested, growth was knocked down by about 75-80%.
Wow, that's pretty substantial inhibition for something mostly known as egg food.
It really is. And what's fascinating is that B. subtilis, the gram-positive one, seemed even more susceptible to VG's effects than E. coli. It was inhibited a bit more strongly.
Interesting difference. And the BSA control?
Did nothing. Well, worse than nothing from an antibacterial perspective.
Yeah.
The paper notes the bacteria actually seemed to use the BSA as a nutrient source. It supported their growth slightly.
Huh. Okay, so that really highlights that VG is doing something specific. It's not just, like, gumming things up.
Exactly. It's actively antibacterial, while BSA is just protein.
They also did that classic test, the paper disc diffusion method, right? Comparing V to an episome.
Yes, the zone of inhibition test. You soak a little paper disc in your substance, put it on an agar plate covered with a lawn of bacteria, and see if a clear zone forms around the disc where the bacteria can't grow.
And did VG make clear zones?
It did. For both bacteria, VG created these clear inhibition zones around the discs, confirming its antibacterial punch in a different assay format. They mentioned that at higher doses, they saw zones up to 12 millimeters for E. coli, and even larger, 14 millimeters, for B. subtilis.
Again, B. subtilis seems a bit more sensitive.
Seems that way, consistently across both tests.
Okay, so it kills bacteria in a dish, that's clear. But how? What mechanism did Professor Krishnan's team propose, based on their experiments? How is it actually doing the killing?
Good question. They wanted to see if VG was physically interacting with the bacterial cells. Makes sense, right? If it's killing them, it probably needs to touch them.
Yeah.
So they fluorescently labeled the purified VG with a dye called FITC, which glows green under the right light.
Okay, like putting a little light bulb on the VG molecule.
Pretty much. Then they mixed this glowing VG with the bacteria and looked under a fluorescence microscope.
And did the VG stick to the bacteria? Did the bacteria light up?
They did. Yes, they found the FITC, labeled VG, bound directly to both E. coli and B. subtilis cells, making them light up green. The control protein, BSA, which they also labeled, didn't bind.
Okay, so VG physically latches onto the bacteria. That's strong evidence for direct interaction.
Very strong evidence.
And they didn't stop there, right? They got an even closer look using scanning electron microscopy, SCM.
Right. So TO gives you those incredibly detailed, almost 3D-like images of surfaces. They looked at the bacterial cells after they'd been exposed to VEED.
What did they see? Was it ugly?
The SCM images are quite striking, yeah. They showed severe damage to the bacterial cells. The paper describes it as significant morphological changes and signs of cell lysis.
Lysis means breaking open.
Essentially, yes. The cells were being destroyed. Their structures were visibly distorted, falling apart. And again, B. sativa seemed to show slightly more dramatic damage, which fits with the growth inhibition results.
Wow. So the picture emerging is VG finds the bacteria maybe using those modifications to help.
Possibly.
It binds to them directly and then somehow causes them to break apart or disrupts them fatally. This sounds a lot like that pattern recognition molecule idea we discussed earlier from the fish studies.
Exactly. The paper suggests VG is likely acting in this way, recognizing common molecular patterns on the bacterial surfaces. Maybe things like lipopolysaccharides, the LPS on gram-negative bacteria, or perhaps peptidoglycans or teichoic acids on gram-positive bacteria.
So it recognizes the invader.
Binds and then triggers destruction. It's acting like a component of the innate immune system.
Okay, that's convincing for lab conditions.
Yeah.
But the most compelling part of the study, for me anyway, was testing this in vivo.
Ah, yes.
Meaning in the living silkworm itself.
Yeah.
That's the real test, right? Does it actually work inside the animal?
Absolutely. This is where it goes from an interesting lab observation to a potential biological function. It's crucial.
So what do they do?
They took silkworm larvae and infected them with a nasty mix of both E. coli and B. subtilis, enough to be lethal under normal circumstances.
Ouch. Poor silkworms.
Well, it's for science. Then, they treated a group of these infected silkworms by injecting them with their purified VG protein.
Okay, a VG rescue attempt.
Right. And critically, they had control groups. Infected silkworms that got no treatment, just the infection.
The negative control.
And a group of healthy, uninfected silkworms as a baseline for normal survival and development.
So how did the VG treatment stack up against lethal infection?
The results were, frankly, incredibly dramatic. The untreated infected silkworms, well, they didn't fare well at all. Less than 10% survived beyond 2 days.
Wow, almost wiped out.
Yeah, they showed all the visible signs of severe bacterial infection becoming sluggish, discolored, dying quickly.
And the VEED-treated group, the ones that got the injection after infection.
About 70%. 70% of the silkworms that received the VG treatment survived the full life cycle.
70%, compared to less than 10.
Exactly. They looked just like the healthy control group. They didn't show the signs of infection. They continued to eat, grow, and develop normally through pupation.
That's a huge difference. So this protein, VG, known primarily for feeding eggs, actually saved infected silkworms' lives in their own bodies.
It truly did. It acted like an effective therapeutic agent in the living insect. The paper notes this 70% survival rate is actually comparable to what they see when infected silkworms are treated with conventional antibiotics like ampicillin or vancomycin.
That's incredible. So it's as good as standard antibiotics in this model.
In terms of survival outcome in this specific experiment, yes. It provided powerful evidence that VEJA has a real protective antibacterial function within the insect's immune system. And importantly, it did so without causing obvious harm to the silkworm itself.
Wow. Okay, so this deep dive into the meticulous work by Professor Muthukalingam Krishnan and his colleagues, published in PLOS One, It really does completely overturn the simple idea that silkworm patellogenin is just an egg yolk protein.
It's a fantastic example of molecular multitasking in biology, isn't it? They successfully purified silkworm VG, showed it's this complex lipophosphoprotein.
Right, with all the decorations.
Demonstrated its killing power against two different types of bacteria in the lab, and perhaps most importantly, showed it protects silkworms from lethal infection in vivo. It functions as an immune effector.
And the mechanism seems to be binding to and physically destroying the bacterial cells, supporting that idea of it acting like an immune recognition molecule, sensing the invaders.
Yes, this adds a really significant piece to the puzzle of insect immunology. It strongly suggests that these yolk proteins, which we've traditionally thought of purely in terms of reproduction and nutrient storage.
You're just packing the lunchbox.
They also play an active role in defense, protecting the mother, maybe even provisioning the egg with some initial immunity.
That makes sense. Now, the paper does mention, I think, that while they found some sequence similarities between parts of the silkworm VG and known antibacterial peptides in databases, It's still not totally clear which part of this big complex molecule is the active antibacterial component, right? Like, is it one small section? Is the whole thing needed? Are those sugar or lipid additions absolutely required?
That's right. That's the next big question, really, for future research. Pinpointing the exact molecular mechanism, the active site, if you will, and understanding precisely how it disrupts the bacteria. Is it punching holes? Is it interfering with cell wall synthesis? More work needed there.
And knowing that could be important, maybe.
Oh, definitely. That kind of detailed knowledge would be crucial if anyone ever wanted to explore therapeutic applications based on this protein, perhaps developing new antibacterial agents.
Yeah.
You need to know the active part.
So you might picture silkworms just quietly munching mulberry leaves and spinning silk.
Yeah, the classic image.
But this deep dive, guided by the research from Professor Krishnan and the team, shows us there's a whole complex world of biology happening inside them, including a sophisticated innate immune system powered, at least in part, by multitasking proteins like vitellogenin.
It really makes you pause and wonder about other molecules we think we've neatly categorized. You know, are there other hidden talents, other functions, just waiting to be discovered right under our noses in seemingly well-understood systems?
A genuinely surprising aha moment, I think, from the intersection of insect biology, immunology, and just basic protein research. Really fascinating stuff. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. We hope you enjoyed uncovering the unexpected antibacterial power of silkworm vitellogenin alongside us.
Until next time.